today while it's snowing. Please stand. I'm going to start by reading from Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Please join us as we sing. Come, Christians, join to sing.
Come, Christians, join to sing.
Good morning, and we welcome you this morning as you join us for worship here in person as well as on Facebook Live. We are glad that you're with us today as we come and we worship our Lord and Savior. So let us join together as we pray together this morning. Lord, we come before you now and we ask that your presence fill this place, God, that your Spirit will calm our hearts and our minds, that we'd focus on you right now, that we would be in your presence and feel your presence with us, that we might hear your small, still voice speak to us as we come and we worship you. And we give you thanks and praise for who you are and for all you've done. So, Lord, allow our offering today be our lives, that we come before you, that we sacrifice before you now, God. In your wonderful and most precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
As we sing this next song, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah, pay attention to the words. I just love them. It's a great worship song.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, come on.
Oh,
This morning. Glory, glory, glory to the Lamb. For you are glorious. For you are glorious and worthy to be praised. The Lamb upon the throne.
from Galatians, 1st chapter, verses 9 through 12. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For I am now seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel, for I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Okay, you could be seated. Thank you.
Thank you, praise team. And again, we want to welcome everybody this morning here to Columbia Methodist Church. I am Pastor Tom, the pastor here. And for those that are watching online, again, we welcome you this morning as you are worshiping together with us. Let us go to God in prayer this morning. And Lord, right now we ask, Lord, that you would come before us and open our hearts, our minds, and our ears, that we might hear you speak to us now. And may the words of my mouth, Lord, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. We're going to continue our series of No Fear Living, and we've been talking about different things that we were fearing in life. And last week, we talked about the fear of failure, and this morning, we are going to talk about the fear of rejection. Now, there is a big difference between the fear of failure and the fear of rejection. Both are very real fears that we all have in our life, but the fear of rejection, I think, is something that focuses more on the individual person and who we are and our emotions and how we handle life and how we handle our relationships. I think all of us probably have gone through the last year feeling rejected in some way, shape, or form, whether it was with family, friends, or the situation with the coronavirus, or whatever it might have been, that in some way, shape, or form in the last year, maybe even this morning when you woke up, before you came to church, or before you logged in on our Facebook page to watch this morning's service, that you might have experienced rejection this morning. It doesn't matter what happens. Rejection is painful and it hurts, and rejection impacts our lives. And impacts our relationships with others. Rejection can be many things. It can be a rejection of a job offer. It can be a rejection of somebody that you thought was a friend who no longer might treat you that way. It might be the aspect of when you're rejected as a senior in high school and you apply for college and you get denied the college that you want to get into. Rejection comes in many different ways, shapes, and forms. Some people don't even come to church because of the fear of rejection. Because when they have come to church, they have been rejected in some way, shape, or form that they don't want to take the chance of coming back and having that experience once again. They might have been rejected for maybe they didn't know the right things to say, or maybe they didn't look the right part according to what people in church might think you should look when you come to church. Or maybe people just even say hi to them when they walked in the door. They just walked right by them, ignored them. The rejection is very big when it comes to churches and why people don't come. When we get rejected, it causes us to go in a very low place in life. It makes us feel like we're alone and that nobody cares for us. We wonder why in the news we have heard over the past few years, why are there so many school shootings? Why have we heard about the church shootings over the last few years as well? It's because people have felt rejected, and so they come in and they either want to pay back the feeling to people and say, I'm going to show you how you have made me feel. You've rejected me. Or they might just say, if I can't be happy, you can't be happy either. We wonder why suicide has been on the rise, especially in the last year of 2020 with the coronavirus, because people felt alone. They felt rejected. They have felt like nobody cares. And the only escape they think they have is through ending their life. They feel that that's the only way that they can get through things if they take their life, because they feel alone and they feel rejected. If we do not get a handle on rejection, rejection will affect every area of our lives. It will affect our relationships with our family. It will reflect our marriages. It will affect our parenting skills when it comes to how we parent our kids. It'll affect our church and what happens in our church and the relationships we have in our church. And most importantly, though, when we live in that fear of rejection and we live in that low point of despair and we feel all alone, it affects our relationship with God. Rejection is very real. It is a very real fear that every person has, whether you're sitting here today or you're watching online, that each and every one of us, myself included, has a fear of rejection. Because we all want to be accepted. We all want to be included. But yet, in the back of our minds, we have that fear of, but what if I'm not? God knew that we were going to struggle as human beings with this fear of fitting in. God knew that we would struggle with trying to find acceptance from other individuals. God knew that we would put more value at times on what other people think about us, that we put more worth on ourselves about how people see us than how God sees us. That God knew that when sin entered into the world, when Adam and Eve sinned, He knew that we as human beings would no longer seek after Him to find value in Him, but try to find value in other people or the things of this world. When we feel rejected by individuals, we begin to turn to other things for that escape, because we feel like if we could just escape for a little bit, all the worries of the world will go away, and we begin to turn to things like alcoholism, drugs. We begin to turn to other coping mechanisms. Maybe it's smoking, or maybe it's affairs, or whatever it might be. That we begin to find something to help us escape for a short time so we actually feel the numb of life and we can actually escape the fear of rejection, the loneliness that we're facing. But what happens is when that high of whatever wears off that we're using to escape into, we're right back where we started from. We're alone. We feel like nobody cares and we still feel rejected. Scripture tells us that the fear of man, it's a dangerous trap, but to trust God means to be safety. Scripture tells us that when we place our trust in men and the things of this world, and we try to find our value and worth and meaning in things of this world, that when we measure ourselves by the standards of this world and what people might think of us or how to live up to different achievements to be the best that we can be, God says we will fail and we'll be trapped. But to trust in Him, He says, is an escape. To trust in Him means that we find safety, we find value, we find meaning, and we find purpose. Rejection becomes a trap. And we live in that fear. And we live in that trap. You see, the fear of rejections helps us to conform to our lifestyles and values. And what I mean by that is that rejection, that fear of rejection, causes us to be somebody that we're really not. It causes us to be chameleons at times. It causes us to kind of blend in, to try to kind of fit in, to try to be something we're not, because we want to be accepted. We want to be loved. We want to fit in like we're part of a group. So instead of being who we truly are, instead of saying what we truly believe, instead of really enjoying the things of life that we enjoy, no, we will kind of find a group and we'll kind of blend in with them. Whether or not we like it or not, we just try to fit in and blend in, and we'll smile, we'll nod, we'll laugh, we'll have a good time, and we'll pretend like we're something that we're not, just to try to feel accepted. Instead of being who God created us to be, an original masterpiece, somebody different, somebody unique than anybody else, that me, you this morning online, you here in the service, that we are different and unique because God has made us as a masterpiece. When we deal with the fear of rejection, no. We all of a sudden try to be like somebody else, a carbon copy. And God doesn't want that for us. God wants us to be who He created us to be. He doesn't want us to be a carbon copy of anybody. He wants us to be unique. He wants us to be the people He created us to be. And the sole reason that we all of a sudden try to be carbon copies is because we're afraid of rejection. So we'll go along the crowd because it's easy to do instead of really being who we are. We become somebody else. Fear of rejection also keeps us from speaking the truth. Well, if I really say what I believe, or if I really say what I think, maybe somebody won't listen to me or they won't like it. Then what? So it's easier if I just go along the crowd and what everybody else is saying and what everybody else is doing, and I'm going to pretend that I also believe the same things they believe, because I don't want to be different. I don't want to believe something different than everybody else. I don't want to have a different thought process than everybody else, because then I'm not going to be accepted. So I'm not going to really share my true feelings. I'm not going to really share what I think, because I might not fit in then. Many of us then begin to distort the truth and become something we're not, because we really aren't being true to ourselves. We're not being true to who God made us to be, because we're afraid of what others might think. It also prevents us from giving and receiving love. That if we live in that fear of rejection, it prevents us from giving and receiving love. This is big, because probably every single person right now in this room, myself included, and those at home right now watching, have been burnt by somebody as a friend. That you thought they were your friend, you thought you could trust them, and then all of a sudden they did something to you that burned you, and you felt rejected, and you said, I can never trust anybody ever again. I can never, ever let people know about me. I can never, ever really, truly tell people and let people into my world, because if I got burnt once, I'm going to get burned again. And so we put our guards up, because we're afraid that we're going to be rejected. So that means that we don't have true friendships. It means, because of one experience or two experiences of individuals who might have burned us by doing things to us, that we close ourselves off. We put walls up and barriers up, and we keep everybody at arm's distance, and we say, I'm going to keep you away and protect myself, so nobody will really get to know the real me. We also do that in relationship with God, that we keep God at bay. We say, okay, God, I'm going to keep you as far away as possible, because I don't trust you either. That when it comes to receiving and giving love, that when we feel like somebody has stabbed us in the back or somebody has done something to us, has wronged us, we can't give and receive love because we close ourselves off. We can't give and receive the love that God has for us because we're closed off to Him. God has said that He wants to love us and care for us. Well, He can't do that if we're keeping Him away and putting walls up. We cannot get through this life alone. And we try to. We say, you know what, I'll do it myself, because I've been hurt too many times. I can just do things myself. And what happens then is we build walls up and relationships suffer. Because we cannot do this thing called life alone, folks. We need God and we need each other. And when we put walls up, folks, it means that we truly cannot experience life the way that God wants us to, because we're not willing to let other people help us, to love us, to care for us. That in our dire need, when we feel all alone and we feel vulnerable, that we can't reach out to people and say, can you pray for me? Can you help me? Can you be here for me? Because we have all the walls up around us. And then we continue to be the chameleons. And we continue to say everything's great and wonderful, but yet we keep everybody at arm's length away because we're afraid. Which leads into isolation and loneliness. It means that we don't really know what true joy is in relationships, because we become isolated and alone. We put ourselves on an island. We keep everybody else at bay. And all of a sudden, all of our thoughts are left to ourselves, and they become a burden to us, and they weigh us down because we're not sharing those burdens and struggles of others. We're keeping them to ourselves. And Scripture says, come to God and give Him our cares, give Him our burdens, cast them upon Him because He cares for us, for His burden is light. Scripture says that as a body of believers, as the church of Jesus Christ, that we are to come and share our burdens with each other, that each and every one of us are to bear each burdens together so we can support and encourage each other. But so many times we feel isolated and we feel alone and we burn bridges to people and we really don't know what true friendship is. And that leads us then to unhappiness. The bottom line of the fear of rejection and living in the fear of rejection is you will never, ever be happy. That if we constantly live in the fear of what other people think about us, or we measure ourselves by what other people think about us, instead of measuring ourselves and how God sees us and that God loves us and cares for us just as we are, no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, we will never, ever be happy. We will constantly have this empty feeling in our stomachs. We will constantly struggle to try to be happy and never be happy. You see, rejection, the fear of rejection means that we're so scared of being rejected that we'll never ever truly experience happiness in life. And in the church of Jesus Christ, then what it leads to is that we no longer share about Christ. Because we're not happy, because we're living alone and we're putting walls up because we're so afraid of being rejected that we now don't share about Jesus Christ because we have nothing to share. Because instead of allowing Christ to work in us, instead of turning to God and casting our cares upon Him, allowing God to work in us, we have nothing to share. Because God's not working in us because we've kept Him away as well. It also means that we're not growing spiritually then. That as we come and we face rejection, it means that if we keep God away, then how can we grow to be the people that He's called us to be? How can we change, become better people if we're not growing spiritually? It means that we've lost our focus. It means that we're not focusing on the things that God wants us to focus on. We're not alone this morning. All of us have struggled and are struggling with rejection. I think, in fact, everything that I just described to you in those few bullet points are things that I myself have experienced in life in the past 2 years in my own personal life, where I have done those things that kept people at bay and I put walls around because I got hurt. And because of people caring and reaching out, because of prayer, and because of the power of Jesus Christ, I was able to see what true acceptance was all about. You see, let's face it, folks, the reality is this. There are some people in life that just aren't going to like us. That you can sit there, you can smile at them, you can be nice to them, you can open doors for them, you can go to Dairy Queen and buy ice cream for them, you can do whatever you want for them, but let's be true here, folks. Some people just aren't going to like us, no matter how nice we are. And we don't like that, do we? Because we want everybody to like us. We don't like not being liked. I don't know about you, but I don't like it when somebody doesn't like me, and I try to figure out why they don't like me so that they begin to like me, because, you know, we like to be accepted. We like to be liked. And we can spend all our time and energy saying, well, how can I get this person to like me better? How can I get this person to accept me? And the reality is, folks, is that there are people in this world that just aren't going to like you, and they're not going to like me. That's the reality of it all. Isaiah 51 says, I am the one who comforts you. So why should you be afraid of people that go before you? Why do you fear people whose life is like the grass and withers away? The problem is, folks, that we spend so much time and energy in trying to get people to accept us, to like us, that it takes away from the time and energy that we should be pouring into our relationship with God. That we are more concerned about people's opinions, and we're more concerned about people liking us than we are about the one true God who says, I love you and I care for you. That guess what? Those opinions of those people that don't like us, guess what happens to those opinions? They die when the person dies, and life goes on. We have a thing called eternal life that means forever and ever and ever. And you know what? If somebody doesn't like us, it's okay. It's not the end of the world, folks, because we have an eternity to spend with a God who loves us and cares for us. And the realization is that person that might not like us, is it going to be around forever? Because we know as we come into Lent season here in just over a month and have Ash Wednesday, that's ashes to ashes, dust to dust, that we're reminded that we go back to the earth in which we came from, that we can't take anything with us, not even our opinions, folks. So why are we trying to spend so much time trying to get people to like us and accept us, knowing the fact that life is short? Why are we wasting all that time and energy on that when there are bigger things that God wants to do for us? Galatians tells us, do you think I'm trying to make people accept me? No, God is the only one I'm trying to please. If I wanted to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ, Paul says. Paul is saying that he lives his life for one person and one person only, and that is God. That he strives for God's acceptance, not to please others, not to live for other people to accept him for who he is, not to find value and worth in what other people think about him, but his value and worth only comes from God. Because not one person can meet all of our needs except for God. No one in this entire earth can love us and meet all of our needs except for God. You see, we focus on the wrong fear here. Instead of being afraid of what people think and fearing rejection, we actually need to live in the fear of God. Now, I'm not talking about the trembling, like, oh, I'm sorry, God, I'm scared of you, God. No, God, please forgive me. No, I'm not talking about the fear and the trembling. I am talking about the awe and the respect and the wonder of who God is. That we are focused on the wrong fear. We are so focused on what other people think about us and how they value us that we have missed out on the awe and the wonder of who God is. And that is the fear we should be living in, the fear of reverence, not the fear of I'm scared, not the fear of trembling and shaking, but the fear and awe, wonder, and majesty, and worshiping him. You see, you and I can get caught up with all the things of this world and trying to please others and find acceptance with others that we miss out on who God is, and we miss out on how awesome God can be. You see, we're so consumed with rejection from people that we've also forgot that God can reject us as well. For you see that we all are going to give an account of our lives when we're before God. That God is either going to say once, why should I let you into heaven? And we will either answer because I accepted your son Jesus Christ for forgiveness of my sins, and I've been forgiven because of what he did on the cross for me, for him dying on the cross and rising from the dead, that it's only by your son that I can get into heaven. And God will say, come on in. Or when God asks that question, we can say, I don't know. Good question. Well, let's see. I went to church. I watched church online. I was involved in the community. I did all these good things. And God will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. You see, we're so focused on what other individuals think and what the world thinks that we forget that there's going to be a time where we're going to face God and say, why should I let you into heaven? And what's your answer going to be? Is it going to be, I don't know. I spent all my time and energy trying to please people. I spent all my time and energy trying to fit in that I really don't know. Or will our answer be because of your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did on the cross? But then there's going to be another question. You see, if we have accepted Christ in our lives, and we have that relationship with him, and God says you may enter into heaven, then he is going to ask us another question, say, well, what did you do with the life that I gave you? What's our answer going to be? Well, God, I spent my entire life trying to be accepted by others. I spent my entire life trying to fit in. I spent my entire life being something I really wasn't. I spent my entire life, God, just unhappy because I was always afraid that somebody wouldn't like me, so I did what I could to try to fit in because I just wanted to be accepted. Or answer could be, God, I made the most of the time you gave me. I know I made mistakes. I know I could have done better with the time you gave me, God, but I did the best every single day and every single week to live for you, to try to point others to you. And then God will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You see, we can be focused on rejection of man and humankind, but what about eternity? That's going to last forever, folks. You see, we also need to refocus on the fact of how God sees you and me. That God doesn't look at us the same way that you and I look at each other. You see, we look at the outward appearance. We judge people by how they look, and that's wrong. That's not what the Bible says we should do. But we do it because we're sinners. We are faulty individuals, and that's because we made a mistake in the garden with Adam and Eve, and it affects who we are, and because of our sinful nature, we begin to judge people by how they look, or how much money they have, or the car they drive, or how involved they're in the community, and we begin to judge people by the outward appearance instead of their hearts. Fear of rejection is real, folks, because instead of looking at people's hearts and the inside of them, we judge them on the outward appearance of things. Scripture says that God doesn't look on the outward, he looks on the inward and sees our hearts. That God doesn't care about what you look like. He doesn't care about the job you have. He doesn't care how much money you have. He doesn't care how involved you are in the church. He doesn't care whether you wear your Sunday's best when you come to church. He says, I look at your heart, and I know your heart. You can fool everybody else by your outward appearance. You can pretend like you have it all together. You can pretend like you're the best person in the world, but I know your heart, and your heart is what matters to me, God says. That's the problem we have as a church, is we judge people on the outward appearance. We try to be all things to all people because we don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to upset people. We want to make sure everybody's happy. Nobody's having a bad day. Instead of saying, what is our heart condition? And why are we really here on a Sunday morning? Are we here to get our lives right with God? Or are we here because it looks good on the outside of things? Remember the story of King Saul? He looked great. Israel wanted a king. And God said, no, I don't want a king. You're different. You're set apart. You don't need a king. But they said, we want a king. And so they said, fine, I'll give you a king. And who they anoint? King Saul. Well, what was King Saul? Why was he such a good king to them? Because he was tall, he was handsome, and he was strong. Just like all the other kings of the lands. So they anointed him king, and he will be our king. And we know how that turned out for Saul, don't we? That he once wasn't walking with God, his heart wasn't where it needed to be, and because he looked good on the outside, Israel thought life was going to be great, and it turns out that they had more trouble with Saul as king because his heart wasn't in the right place, because they thought he's handsome, he's tall, and he's strong, he'll be a great king. And lo and behold, we know that we're told Samuel goes to anoint David, and he goes to Jesse's house, and he lines up all of his kids, and he says, surely it's got to be one of these, because my kids are handsome and they're strong. And God says to Samuel, there's one more, his name is David, go find him. And Jesse goes, why him? He's just a shepherd boy. He's a teenager. And Samuel says, God looks at the person's heart, not on the outward appearance. And we know that David was anointed king, and when Saul took his own life because he was so unhappy and so miserable when he lost the final battle, that David became king and Israel was prosperous, not because David was a handsome, strong-looking guy. No, because his heart was right with God, because God saw his heart. And we need to see things the way that God sees us. And God sees that we are people of value and worth, that God loves us just as we are, that when God looks at us, he says, you are my creation, and I love you. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you've been through. I love you, he says. Because God gave his own son for you and for me. And we need to embrace that love. We need to embrace that in our lives. And we need to say, thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you, God, for not looking at my mistakes. Thank you, God, for not looking at my outward appearance. Thank you, God, for loving me just as I am, God. Thank you, God, for your love and your grace. John 4 tells us again here, this is what real love is. Not our love, but for God's love, that he sent his own son to take away our sins. When we truly embrace God's love, it's not just up here, something we know, but we begin to feel it and we live it and we embrace it and we try our best to move to God, that we don't have to worry about what other people think about us or please other people because God already accepts us. Hebrews says, nothing in all God's creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid before the eyes of him that we have to give an account. God sees everything, folks. We can fool other people. We can't fool God. God knows our hearts. God knows when we're faking things. God knows when we're just trying to fit in. Nothing is hidden from God. So why do we try to play games with God when God already sees all and knows all? Why not experience his unconditional love that he has for you and for me? Why not embrace it? 1 John 4:18 says, where God's love is, there is no fear. That God's love drives out fear. Are we living in the fear this morning of rejection? Are we living in that fear that God's love is not driving it out because we're so consumed with that fear of rejection? Where there is God's love, there is no fear, Scripture says. We need to begin then to live in freedom and confidence, as Ephesians tells us, that it says when we truly embrace God, we can truly be free. This morning, as we're here together and we're online, I'm sure there's some of you that are feeling trapped. I'm sure there's some of you that are feeling trapped because you are living in that fear of rejection. Every morning when you wake up, it's the first thing on your mind. God doesn't want you to be trapped. God wants you to experience happiness and joy in life. The Bible says that Jesus came to give us life that we might have it more abundantly. That God loves us, and we need to embrace that. That we need to refocus our attention on God and not pleasing other people. Scripture says we can either serve God or man. Which one is it? We can't serve both. You see, the reality, folks, is this. People are tired of chameleons. People are tired of people being fake and phony. They're tired of it. They're tired of people being something that they're not. They're tired of being trapped, and they're tired of fearing rejection. They're tired of it. They're tired of being empty inside. And they're trying to fill that emptiness, but always fall short. Because it's only through God and God's grace that we can find acceptance and value and worth in life. And to fill that emptiness in our life with him. To be free, to begin to walk alongside of God and truly enjoy life. Not being afraid of things of this world that'll pass away. For this is not our home, it's temporary. But for some reason, you and I put a lot of time and energy and investing in this place called home that's going to fade away. Instead of investing in things that are eternal, like our relationship with God. So this morning, as we come and we sing our last song together, I want to encourage you this morning, if you're here this morning and you're looking for that relationship with God, to come on forward, and I'll be more than happy to pray with you. I'll be more than happy to just introduce you to Jesus so you can experience that love. Maybe you're here this morning, you're like, Pastor Tom, I have that relationship. I have it, but I'm feeling trapped. I'm putting all my time and energy into trying to please others that I don't know how to get out of it. I would love to pray with you this morning as I stand up front here. You at home that might be worshiping live with us, shoot me a message. Shoot me a text on our page for the church or whatever it might be, and message me and say, hey, Pastor Tom, will you pray for me? Right now, if you're watching online and you have a prayer request, put it online. We'll see that prayer request, and we'll pray for you. So whatever you might be going through right now, I want to encourage you. This is a safe place. A safe place here at Calamity Methodist Church, because we all care about you and we love you. We want to be here for you. We want to pray for you. We want to support you. So this morning, whatever you're struggling with, I invite you to come forward to have prayer with me. I invite you that if you're at home this morning watching this and you don't know what a relationship with God is, again, message us and say, hey, I want to know what that's about. So this morning as we sing the song, Who Do You Say That I Am? I'll be standing up front here. And if you'd like to come up for some prayer, I'll be more than willing to pray with you.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love.
Children of God, yes, we are. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, you are a child of God. And as we leave this place, I hope that we'll embrace that and begin to accept God's grace and mercy in every aspect of our life. Stop focusing on things that don't matter. Stop spending time and energy on individuals who will reject us no matter what we try to do. but find our acceptance in who God is and how God loves us. So as you leave today, whether you're watching online or you're here with us now, may you go in God's grace and go in God's peace and know that any time at all that we are here for you, when you're struggling, when you feel alone, when you're feeling rejected, we are here for you. Just reach out and we'll show you, introduce you that God, the God who loves us just the way we are. But not only that, we'll be there to support you and encourage you and pray for you and surround you as well in your time of need. So may you go and may God's grace go with you now. Amen.
Who the sun sets free, oh, is free.
Have a wonderful week. Be safe out there.
Okay, you're welcome.